16.49 to 3256.93. All indicators are this is due to fears and growing concerns over coronavirus deaths over in China. Oil is down $1 to $52.33 per barrel. Gold is down $11.20 to $1,587.20 an ounce. All right, well, welcome everybody to the program. It's another edition of Taking Care of Business. We get together every Thursday at this time. So glad you could join us and be a part of the program. I apologize for some technical issues early in the program. Our news feed, for some reason, just doesn't seem to want to work today, so I apologize for that. That's why we had to listen to a few extra commercials as I started to get everything else ready for the program. If you're currently listening to the program, chances are you're doing so on a computer, on a laptop, on a tablet, or on a cell phone, and we thank you for that. And we'd also ask that you open up another browser and go to Facebook and search for the program's page, which is called Taking Care of Business with Jim Gannot. Like and follow that page so you can get updates midweek on anything affecting business or that we think you would have an interest in as it pertains to business during the course of the week. During the show at this time of the week, it's time for the business quote of the week. It's brought to you each week at this time by Crown Trophy of Flemington. Obviously, there was a major tragedy in sports on Sunday with the death of Kobe Bryant. So I wanted to use a quote from Kobe, and I found this one that I liked, and I think that it really has crossover, not only in the sports world, but in the business world, which Kobe was starting to get into. And he says, "I have nothing in common with lazy people who blame others for their lack of success. Great things come from hard work and perseverance. No excuses." Now, you've heard me say that on the program plenty of times where I would say, no excuses, no exceptions. That's our mantra over at Crown Trophy of Flemington. And I really don't have time for lazy people. If you're not going to put in the work, you're not going to put in the effort, I really don't want you on my staff. I'm looking for people that are willing to work hard, willing to put in the hours, and will do whatever it takes to make our business a success. And I have found them in both Susan and Jen. There have been a lot of people who have come before them and aren't there anymore. And it's because they would display a lack of interest. They didn't want to learn more about their industry. They didn't want to do any more than what was required. You know, even taking out the garbage was a chore sometimes. So I liked Kobe's quote, and that's why I brought it to you today. I think it's very applicable in business when he says, "I have nothing in common with lazy people who blame others for their lack of success. Great things come from hard work and perseverance. No excuses." Obviously, it was a tragedy on Sunday when we heard the news of Kobe's helicopter going down, obviously flying in dense fog. And I've been watching as the tributes have poured in, some of the criticisms of Kobe that have poured in as well. The one that I think struck me the most was Stephen Colbert. He got on the other night, and as he sat down on his desk, he mentioned something that I didn't know, and that was that his father and two brothers that were close in age to him had both died on an Eastern Airlines flight crash in Charlotte, North Carolina, back in, I believe it was 1972. And here we are, it's 1972, it's now 2020, and it amazes me that helicopters such as the one that Kobe was riding in don't necessarily have black boxes. May or may not have had fog warnings, altitude warning systems. And it just amazes me that this isn't mandatory equipment on any aircraft. Doesn't matter whether it's a Cessna or a helicopter or 747. I'm not sure why the NTSB and the FAA haven't made that required equipment on these types of aircraft, but I think that we have to look at them and say, you know, this has to change, particularly an altitude warning system. If you're flying in dense fog, and as a pilot, if you're flying in dense fog, you lose the horizon. If you look down at your gauges for a second, and this pilot was certified to do instrument-type flying, but if you look down, you take your eyes off that horizon, very easy to get disoriented. And then now all of a sudden, am I looking at the sky? Am I looking at the horizon? Am I looking at the ground? An altitude warning system would be almost screaming at you, pull up, pull up, pull up, to the point where once you pulled up, you could regain the horizon, make the necessary corrections, and then continue on with your flight. The fact that that wasn't mandatory equipment on this Sikorsky helicopter baffles me. And the fact that we don't have a black box, it's really going to be pure speculation as to what went wrong during that flight. So obviously we've lost Kobe Bryant. He'll be inducted into the NBA Hall of Fame later this year. We lost his daughter, Gianna, or Gigi as she was known, and seven others on the flight, including a baseball coach for a small community college who had some ties here in New Jersey as well. He's trained several major league players who have come from the New Jersey, the Garden State area. And it's just a shame all the way around that an accident that seems like it could have been preventable for a couple of reasons. First, having the right equipment on board, an altitude warning system, a flight data recorder, and just common sense. Not flying in dense fog might have prevented that tragedy. Kobe was a very complicated person. You know, one of the last players to come out of high school, go right to the pros. Wasn't necessarily welcomed by his peers when he got there. There was a little bit of hazing involved once he got there. He was accused of rape, which was eventually settled out of court. He said and has apologized several times to the lady in that incident. But I think what happened from that was that he really turned his life around, became a better human being, a better father, a better husband, and was well on his way to helping a lot of people. Won the Academy Award a few years ago for a short film documentary called Love Basketball. And I think that we hadn't seen all there was to see out of Kobe Bryant. And it's a shame that that's gone. And he leaves behind three daughters and a wife, a legion of fans. There's now a petition going on online with over 2.5 million signatures to change the logo of the NBA, which currently features a silhouette of Jerry West, and changing that to a silhouette of Kobe Bryant. Not sure whether or not the NBA would ever do that, but again, a shame all the way around, a tragedy all the way around for all the families, all the victims, and hopefully in time, maybe the NTSB, maybe the FAA will require flight data recorders and altitude warning systems on all aircraft so that we don't have to hear about senseless tragedies like this one ever happening again. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll get into the program with the rest of the story. Talk to you later. We'll be right back.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Huntington Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Huntington is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Huntington at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Huntington, the voice for mental health in Huntington County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Huntington Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@huntington-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Stephen Graham, and you're listening to Taking Care of Business with Jim Cano on Huntingdon, ChamberRadio.com.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business and working overtime for help.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington. So glad you could join me as we get together every week at this time to talk about one of my favorite subjects, and that is business. Currently reading a great book. It's called Factory Man, and it's about a gentleman named John Bassett III who, amidst all of the competition in the furniture industry years ago, when China was coming over and basically buying up every factory, saying they would make and produce all the furniture overseas, ship it in containers back to the United States, and you could sell it under your name, as many furniture companies did, John Bassett stayed firm and said, nope, Made in America means something to us. And he was preserving the jobs of 700 people and keeping his factory open. And it's a fascinating read. So if you're interested in business-type books, go on Amazon.com and look up Factory Man and order that book. It's a fascinating read of how he walked away from millions, if not billions, of dollars to sell his company. But he always looked more at the employees and the impact it would have on them. And being a small town with only one basic industry, it was going to paralyze that town. So if you get a chance, read Factory Man about John Bassett III. Wanted to bring you up, this is a big week. It's Super Bowl Sunday this Sunday. And so wanted to bring you some statistics because everybody always says the same thing. I'm going over a friend's house for a Super Bowl party. I'm going to a bar, to a sports bar, to watch the Super Bowl. A bunch of us are coming over to my house to watch the game. So, and there's always food and sometimes way too much food. So I wanted to give you some statistics on fun food facts for Super Bowl Sunday. The Super Bowl Sunday is the second largest food holiday in the United States, second only to Thanksgiving. Unlike Thanksgiving, Super Bowl Sunday is one of the most popular days of the year to order takeout. 1 in 7 Americans order takeout on Super Bowl Sunday. The National Chicken Council estimates Americans eat more than 100 million pounds of chicken wings on Super Bowl Sunday. That's about 1.25 billion wings. 60% of those takeout orders are pizza. In fact, pizza is one of the top two Super Bowl snacks. The second, of course, is chicken wings. Now, over half of Americans who eat chicken wings prefer to dip their wings in ranch dressing. Sausage is the third most popular pizza topping in America. Veggies are a popular dippable snack, but the most popular dippable are potato chips. Get this. 11.2 million pounds of potato chips will be munched and dipped on during Super Bowl Sunday. 8.2 million pounds of tortilla chips and 4 million pounds of pretzels could be dipped as well. This weekend, the weekend of the Super Bowl is the second biggest grilling week of the year. After the 4th of July, nearly 14 billion hamburgers will be grilled up and served at the big game or for the big game. 32% of Americans say they plan on eating some form of dip on game day, including 8 million pounds of guacamole. Maybe that's why the Avocado Council has an ad on during Super Bowl Sunday. During the 2014 Super Bowl, over 40,000 sausages and hot dogs were served to hungry fans at the game. 40,000 sausages or hot dogs were served at the game. And then, of course, after the game is over, well, you probably don't feel so well from eating all of that. Once game day comes to an end, antacid sales increase roughly 20%. And the Monday after the Super Bowl, around 1.5 million Americans will call in sick to work. Snack wisely, my friends. Very interesting, you know, when you read some of those stories about, you know, all of the statistics with how much food people consume and how much they drink and things like that. It's hysterical. We usually have a simple We'll go to like Jersey Mike's or Wegmans, get a sandwich, a couple of chips. We don't go on a big spread. It's usually just my wife and I watching the game. And, you know, we'll watch the game. We don't really have a dog in the fight this year. I'd like to see Patrick Mahomes win. We had made the MVP award for him for the Professional Football Writers of Association of America last year. So it'd be nice to see him win. And, of course, I've always been an Andy Reid fan since his days coaching the Philadelphia Eagles. So my money is on the Kansas City Chiefs. My score prediction would be around 35-24. We'll see what happens, and we'll report back next week. There's a lot of people who have what they call a someday money mentality. And what that means is that someday you'll own a house. Someday you'll save for retirement. Someday you'll buy a new car. And now what I want to do is try to change that someday mentality, if you will. So when it comes to your financial goals, it can be easy to fall into the someday mentality. And again, someday you're going to own a house. Someday you'll save for retirement, and on and on. I have said, and this has been a push of mine for about the last 6 to 10 months, about saving for retirement and how few people are actually doing it. You know, they'll buy an expensive car today, but they won't put any money away for 40 years from now. And so if you have that someday mentality and you're in your 20s, you say, oh, I'll start saving when I'm in my 30s. And then you get to your 30s, I'll do it when I'm in my 40s. The time is now. But putting off those goals until some far-off future date not only limits your financial potential, it limits the potential for living a full life too. Over 70% of people admit to procrastinating at least some of the time when it comes to their financial goals, according to a 2018 study from Fidelity Investments. The reasons why vary. 45% of boomers do so because they think they have plenty of time to accomplish them. Per the report, while 39% of millennials say they do so because they either panic or worry they won't succeed at the task or get overwhelmed about not doing it perfectly. More women procrastinate out of a desire for perfectionism rather than men. Research shows that humans have a present bias when it comes to consuming and planning. They prefer immediate gains over future ones, ignoring the potential costs. And that's not necessarily always bad. Most people procrastinate, and 33% of people say it's just a part of life, according to Fidelity's report. But it does become a problem if someday never comes. So how do you go from that someday mentality to today? Some of the most commonly avoided tasks, per Fidelity, are making a budget, creating an estate plan, saving for an emergency, paying off debt, and investing for retirement. I want to talk real quick about creating an estate plan. For the longest time, and my wife and I had very generic wills when we first got married. It was just, if I go, you get it, and if you go, I get it. But then when we had children and a business, that changes a lot. So we sat down with a financial planner and created an estate plan. How would our assets be divided amongst our children? What would happen to the business? Who would be taking care of our estate, you know, who would get what and at what age, things like that. And the funny thing is, once this plan was done, and we had avoided it for so many years because my wife was confident that once you filled out a will and created an estate plan, you were sure to get hit by a bus the next day. Luckily, we've been around for several years since then. But it gave me such peace of mind knowing that my family is taken care of, my kids will be taken care of, my wife will be taken care of. The business can either be sold or closed without too much harm, you know, to my family. So everything is in place. And I slept like a baby that night knowing that everything was in order. Obviously, putting off any of those tasks can affect a person's bottom line, but it also has a ripple effect throughout a person's life. Respondents said that they felt more stress and shame as a result of procrastinating, and never mind that they were missing out on compound interest on these investments. So here are three strategies a person can take to change their someday money mentality. The first is to consider the opportunity cost. Now, behavioral economists find that loss looms larger than gains, meaning people are more likely to think of a financial loss as more painful than a comparable financial gain as a positive. That can be used to a person's benefit. Figuring out how much money is potentially being lost by not investing or prioritizing debt repayment or switching to a high-yield savings account can be the catalyst to better financial behaviors. Seeing the numbers in black and white can be a wake-up call, especially for older generations. Like the 45% of baby boomers putting off financial tasks because they still think there's plenty of time to accomplish them. Charts and calculators abound online to show savers how much they're potentially missing out on when they put off investing. a few years could cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars in compound growth. Starting off early is also easier. Take saving for retirement. The person who starts investing in their 20s will likely have to invest a lot less each month to reach, say, $1 million than those starting in their 30s, 40s, or beyond. Now, thinking about those potential losses and making calculations on the difference between tackling financial tasks now and putting them off at a later day grounds a person in the present. Instead of thinking about someday, they know what they can accomplish today. You have to eschew perfectionism. Perfectionism can wreak havoc in many aspects of our lives, and women and millennials are particularly vulnerable when it comes to it negatively affecting their finances, according to Fidelity. Take investing. For example, many people, and especially women, are worried that they are not knowledgeable enough to get started, so they put it off, accumulating money in a savings account but never taking the next step. But there's no such thing as a perfect when it comes to money or investing, or for that matter, anything in life. People overspend, they fall into debt, or they save less than they'd like to all the time. Instead of feeling trapped by perfectionism, give yourself permission to mess up and move on. Understanding the basics of the task at hand and forming a sticking to a financial plan are more important than being perfect. And you want to create what's called a fresh start day. And I love this term. Everyone's familiar with the vigor people feel around the new year to create and stick to goals and resolutions. Research from Catherine Milkman, who's a professor at the Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania, and her colleagues suggest that people can create this fresh start effect anytime they choose. Milkman and her team's research finds that giving significance to a day, say starting fresh on the first day of spring, motivates people because it marks a division between an imperfect past and a potentially better future. Yes, ultimately the date may seem arbitrary, but Milkman's research indicates that picking a day with some form of significance can encourage people to really think through their goals and take the extra steps to accomplishment. They could be the start of a new semester, the beginning of a week, a birthday, or yes, even the first day of spring. So on that fresh start day, you can apply this to anything. Next week, we're going to review the goals we set at the beginning of the year. Now, what I want you to do is just think about it today. It's the 30th of the month. So where are you? And you should pretty much know how you're doing in your business just this month alone. Are you up? Are you down? Are you where you want to be? Are you behind in this goal? Where do you find yourself right now? And, you know, do you need to make a change? So where I'm going with that is, you know, pick a day that has some significance. Like she said in the story, it could be a Monday. It could be the first day of spring. Let's pick, say, February 15th. It gives you 2 weeks to get your mindset right. And this could be for anything. You want to lose weight. You want to start intermittent fasting. You want to save money. You want to open up an IRA or a 401k. Now would be the time over the course of the next 2 weeks to make the plans to make that happen. Are you going to be able to say to yourself, I'm not going to eat breakfast starting February 15th if you want to lose weight through intermittent fasting? Are you willing to say to yourself, I'm going to meet with a financial planner sometime in the next 2 weeks and I'm going to put $50 a week aside in some kind of a savings account? If you're willing to do that and you get your mental preparation done, then when that significant fresh start day comes, hit it with everything you've got. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, NWHCRDB. We'll be back in a few minutes after the news and a few commercials with a story of how Disney CEO Bob Iger is so busy that even Oprah was stunned when he explained how he stays organized. We'll be right back.
The traffic is stuck. Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Taking care of business.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, with you every Thursday at this time for another edition of Taking Care of Business. So glad we could get together and talk about issues affecting business. And one of the issues affecting business when I talk to business owners is they have a hard time staying organized. And so recently, Bob Iger, who's the CEO of Disney, had...
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
All right, let's try that again. So recently, Disney CEO Bob Iger was on a panel discussion, and Oprah Winfrey was there, and she was stunned at how he stays organized. Now, it's no surprise that Disney CEO Bob Iger has a lot of work on his hands. Take a look at some of the statistics of the corporation that he runs. The company's market capitalization has grown over $200 billion since Iger took over as CEO in 2005. Disney has over 200,000 employees and operates 12 amusement parks. It owns media networks like ESPN and ABC, studios, hotels, restaurants, and more. And as a sign of Disney's power, Iger claimed a spot in the top 100 of Time's most influential people in the world in 2019. Even Oprah Winfrey, who moderated an event in New York City with Iger in 2019 to promote his new book, The Ride of a Lifetime, couldn't wrap her head around how the Disney CEO compartmentalizes his day. Keep in mind that term, compartmentalizing your day. She said, "I don't actually know how you do it all." Iger's answer, first, it all starts with assembling a good team. A company this size, with this many businesses and this much complexity, you can't possibly do it all yourself. Not one person could do that, Iger said. Once the team is assembled, Iger said he has his own system for his role at the top. To fit everything in, he organized his task into four categories. The first are what he calls the must-dos. As CEO, there are some responsibilities that are unavoidable, Iger said. These include going to board meetings and jumping on earnings calls. But unlike fellow CEOs Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos, Iger doesn't avoid frequent meetings. He has a close team of 10 people who he tries to meet with face-to-face at least once a week, if travel schedules will allow it. One thing I know helps them a lot is that I tell them what my priorities are and what I expect of them and of the company. That gives them the ability to go off and operate with a little bit more of a roadmap of what's expected. He says the second aspect of how he gets everything done is the big decisions. Now, it may not come as a surprise, but another of Iger's main duties includes making the big decisions. There are some things I have to get involved with because of their sheer size, Iger told Winfrey. Mostly the level of investment, the statement it might make, or the responsibility associated with a big initiative. Iger has spearheaded key investments for Disney during his tenure as CEO. That includes the company's acquisitions of Pixar, Lucasfilm, Marvel, and most recently, 21st Century Fox, with a combined total investment of over $86 billion. On the business side, there's a case to be made for your product reflecting the world you're trying to do business in, Iger told Vogue in 2018. But, of course, there's also an ethical side. I felt that Marvel needed to turn its afterburners on in terms of developing movies based on more diverse characters, and that led directly to Black Panther and Captain Marvel. The third aspect is, he says, you have to make a difference. The CEO's near 45-year experience at the company in both business and creative positions has also helped him pinpoint where he can make a difference. Iger landed his first job with ABC when he was 23 years old, although he said that he wasn't much more than an assistant to the production assistant. He's gone on to hold more than 20 different positions at the company before finally becoming CEO of the Walt Disney Corporation, which acquired ABC in 1995. That experience has encompassed some of Disney's largest products. When it comes to big films like Star Wars, for instance, he will see final cuts of the movie, assist with script reading, and relay his input along the way. If I really think by putting my touch on something I can make it better or extort people who are making it to be better, I do that, he said. And ultimately, he says, you have to have fun. Now, while Iger's 13-year tenure as CEO continues after delaying retirement plans on four separate occasions, he's still learning on the job. He told Winfrey the fourth category is one he's only learned to do as he's gotten older, which is asking himself what he enjoys doing most. I have the ability to decide occasionally what's going to be fun for me, Iger told Winfrey. So, yes, there's that work that has to get done, but that last component, having fun, so many business owners forget that, that you have to take care of yourself physically, emotionally, and then just have fun. If it means you got to take a day off and go golfing, do it. If it means if you're a female and you say, hey, I got to take a day off, get your nails done, go to the spa, do it. But take care of yourself because so many people don't. And then the burnout starts to loom, and all of a sudden it becomes a problem on, you know, because work is just taking over. The other thing that I liked in the interview there with Bob Iger, and it doesn't matter what the size of your business is, whether you have 200,000 employees or two, organizing and assembling a good team is paramount to your success. I can tell you a number of occasions where my team has had to run my business and they've done it flawlessly. One time I was hospitalized on an emergency basis with an infection for over a week. I think Jen was with me maybe 6 or 10 months, and she ran the business. She was able to take orders. She was reporting back and forth to our corporate office on what was happening with me. She would communicate with me by text message, you know, almost daily, several times a day if needed. And when I finally got back a week later, it was like I was never gone. I'm able to take vacations because Susan and Jen can run my business without me. And that's the type of person you want. Do you have that in your business? Do you and are you willing to train them to take on those roles if necessary? A lot of business owners won't do that. They won't let go of that control. But when you give your employees responsibility, they'll take a little bit more ownership in your business. I'm about to create a new business, and as I was doing some contemplating on this last night, I realized that the people who make my business work are Jen and Susan. And I will most likely, when we open this new business, give them some form of an equity stake in that business because they're going to be doing a lot of the work for it. They should feel as if they have a little bit of skin in the game as well. So they'll probably end up with a 5 or 10% equity stake in the business because I think it's going to be one that's going to take off and that they should be rewarded for their contributions. So, again, assembling a team, having fun, taking care of business, it's all part of running a good business. And I think that Iger's comments there about compartmentalizing, taking care of the things you have to take care of, delegating the rest away, very important in making a successful business. A lot of people have been talking to me about the need for networking. I've had people calling me up saying, do I join the chamber? Do I join a BNI group? There's another three initial business group nearby. And, you know, I said, absolutely. Anywhere you can get out there and network and get yourself out there amongst your peers is great. I'd rather see you networking with potential customers than other businesses. A lot of times what I challenge people is when you go to these BNI groups or any networking group that's strictly there for networking, at the end of the year, I want you to add up all the business that you got from all that networking. Now, I have one gentleman who became very active in BNI, goes to the meetings every week, and he was taking 2 hours out of his workday even though it's breakfast, he was taking 2 hours a week out of his business to go to BNI. When I asked him, can you add up everything you've ever sold to members from BNI, I think it came to about $12,000. Not a lot when you're selling $600,000 worth of product. It's a pimple on your butt. So I said, with the 2 hours per week, 52 weeks a year, what could you have done with those 104 hours? And who could you have been selling to and marketing to in those same 104 hours? And so he's still active in BNI. I don't have a problem with that, but he does understand the need that time away is taking time away from his business. And, you know, hopefully over time he'll see that if he took the 104 hours and used that in marketing time, exponentially he would outsell anything that he was selling to any of the BNI members. So where should you start networking if you're going to do so online? There are many social media sites that you can join and basically do the same type of networking, only in a virtual way. You cannot be physically present, but you can make many friends and acquaintances through the social media sites. The main ones that I found to be most useful are Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Pinterest. And after you've created a following, you can promote your business through these social sites. With Facebook, you can join a local group in your own community, and you can also join groups that you want to work with for your market. Facebook is an excellent tool to use for networking. Facebook and LinkedIn are used primarily for business. However, on Facebook, it works best to make personal acquaintances first before you start promoting your business. On LinkedIn, you can promote your business from day one. You don't have to get acquainted on a personal level. The people that join LinkedIn are there to network for business. They are looking for connections for their business. With Pinterest, you can pin pictures up on boards and link to your offers, Facebook, or website. Creating pictures for me is not always easy, but if you have pictures of your products, that is what you want to work with. So show your work and link the pictures back to your offers or your website. Drive that traffic. Networking opportunities are everywhere, online and offline. Offline, always carry your business cards and let everyone know that you are in business, what you do, and most importantly, what you can do for them. Give your friends and family members several business cards and ask them to give them to their acquaintances. Everyone that you meet must know what you do and what you have to offer online and offline. And that goes back to what I always say, people have to know the three W's about you, who you are, where you are, and what you do. It talks there about always having business cards on you. I can't even count how many times I run into somebody, they introduce themselves, they've heard about me, they want to talk more about business, and I'll say, well, give me your business card, and they don't have one. And I'll get some BS excuse like, oh, they're getting reprinted, or oh, you know, they haven't come in yet, or oh, I left them at my office. That should be automatic. Put them in your wallet, put them in your purse, have them in your car, have them everywhere so that when somebody asks you, can I have one of your business cards, you have it to give. It just baffles the mind that people aren't prepared, and that's probably where they lose the that elevator pitch first, with me anyway, is that they're not prepared to promote themselves. So from now on, make sure you have business cards in your wallet, on your person at all times, because that lost opportunity could be worth several thousand dollars to you simply because you didn't have a business card. A lot of people say it's old-fashioned. It's really not. It's the way business gets done. I have a business card directory back at my office. I usually have an app that will scan your business card so I can, you know, pull you up in my phones at any time. And, you know, that's the type of connection I want to make with people. So make sure that, you know, you're able to do that with them. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about how to conduct market research without spending months or millions in the process. We'll be right back.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Huntin' Huntered In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Huntin' Huntered In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
The traffic is stuck.
Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on Huntin' Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Huntin' Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@huntin-chamber.org.
You lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington and the host of this program for the last 8.5 years. And very glad that we can get together and talk about business and how we can help each other be better at our respective businesses. One of the things that a lot of business owners don't have time for, don't know how to do, don't necessarily want to hire somebody to do it for them, or if they do, they find that it's prohibitively expensive, is market research. So I want to talk to you for a little bit about how you can conduct market research without spending millions or months in the process to help your business. Keeping up with market trends that shape your industry may feel like it would take precious time away from your company, but it doesn't have to with the help of a couple of tips I'm going to give you. Business success today depends on understanding what market trends are most prominent, what your customers need, and what types of competitive strategies are most effective. After all, there's nothing worse than spending precious resources launching a new product or service that ultimately flops in the marketplace. Fortunately, advancing technology makes it possible to conduct competitive market research more rapidly than in the past. So now let's explore how to conduct market analysis efficiently, as well as strategies that facilitate quick learning of key market trends. So how do you conduct a consumer or a customer needs analysis? The first step is mastering market trends is getting to know your customers. You should use any information and feedback collected to divide your customers into segments. Segments should share a common characteristic, such as age or location, and be large enough to warrant individual marketing attention. Within each segment, it's helpful to develop buyer profiles. Picture your customer as a human being. You'll describe their demographics and background, their motivations and challenges, what they spend their lives doing, how they communicate with the businesses they patronize, and the message that they are most likely to appeal to them. Your last customer needs analysis step will be connecting each target buyer's needs to a product or service. Call out your benefits, why the target buyer would or would not choose you over a competitor. If there are holes, consider refining your offerings to better address critical customer pain points. There's tools for competitive market research. You don't need to spend a fortune with a prestigious market research firm to gain valuable customer insights. There are a number of low-cost, time-efficient ways of examining market trends, many of which are online, some of which are in person. What do you need from us? How can we serve you better? Are two questions you should be asking. One go-to strategy is what they call crowdsourcing. You can use social media or online surveys emailed to your database to collect feedback about what's working or not for your existing customers. Be sure to ask the tough questions. Encourage honesty and reward customers for their participation via coupons, discounts, or gift cards. In some cases, and especially if you are developing a new product or service, you might want to access the larger market. Online services like Gut Check and User Testing allow you to use targeted criteria like gender and income to ask a series of open and closed questions to millions of pre-qualified individuals. In addition to completed surveys, these tools can capture customer emotions via one-on-one video responses and can summarize the results so you don't have to sift through the raw data yourself. You might also deduce market trends through the use of text analysis software. These tools help business owners gain insights from structured or unstructured text data using natural language processing or a program's ability to process human speech patterns. Text analysis software leverages data from a variety of sources, including public reviews, emails sent to your organization, surveys, and phone transcripts. It can then pull out key language patterns that get to the bottom of customer sentiment. As an example, Thematic gathers customer feedback from your existing data sources and, by distilling common themes, analyzes your best route to keeping customers. Similarly, Chattermill takes unstructured input and translates it into clear actions meant to improve customer experience. And best of all, you can automate many steps. Of course, your market trends analysis isn't complete without competitor monitoring. If you're not sure how to find competitors of a company, search Google for your service and location and compare and contrast the features and benefits of the company websites that appear. A number of paid tools also help with competitor monitoring, including SEMrush, which provides data about your current online performance as well as that of your competitors and helps you accurately assess the search terms leading to your company and competitors. A second option is SpyFU, Spy for You, which allows you to search for any competitor and downloading their keywords. You don't need to spend a fortune with a prestigious market research firm to gain valuable customer insights. There are a number of low-cost, time-efficient ways of examining market trends, many of which are online. While conducting a customer needs analysis and market trends research doesn't have to take over your life, it may still be worthwhile to hire an intern or freelancer to employ these strategies on your behalf. You should probably repeat your analysis annually. It can help you become more proficient at minimizing time spent analyzing market trends. This kind of also goes with building an email marketing database. Once you've built it, and like for me, we have different leagues, different segments of our marketing database list. It's a good idea for you to update that every year because people come and go in different organizations, so you want to make sure you have the most current data available. So again, know your competition. Ask the simple questions to your customers. When a person says, hey, man, you got a great product here, a great price, ask a few questions. What do you like about it? Is there any other service or product type that we could be providing to you that you would have an interest in? If three or four people keep saying the same thing, maybe that's something you need to be looking at. All right, so let's talk about three types of online marketing strategies to try when you're losing money. And this is something that a business called me about, and they said, we don't know why, but we're losing money. And when we started looking at their marketing plan, there really wasn't a marketing plan. So here's three ways that you can get online, do some marketing, and hopefully reverse that losing money trend. Now, every business at some point hits a rough patch. It could be seasonal. It could be that people are losing interest in your product. But these types of online marketing strategies may help you grow and scale on a budget. And if you're in the same boat or if you're just looking for a few low-cost ways to keep your sales pipeline full, these three types of online marketing strategies could be useful for you as well. First, meet your customers where they are, on email. Marketing is about getting your business in front of your target audience so that when they need something that you provide, they think of you first. Email marketing is one of many types of online marketing strategies that can help you do that. If you're not already engaging with your customers on a regular basis via email, then you could be missing out on a big opportunity. By connecting with clients via email and appearing on various platforms, you can start to gain more visibility for your brand. Connecting one-on-one is great, but with most of us being short on time, it can't be the only way you're staying connected. That is where different types of online marketing strategies, email marketing in particular, can help. The point of email marketing is to stay close to your customers by connecting with them in a place that's easy and not intrusive. To get started with email marketing, consider creating a simple email marketing content calendar that includes sending an email to all clients and potential clients at least once a month, preferably a little bit more than that. The focus of the emails can vary based on what's going on that month. Consider including a happy birthday email based on the client's birthday, as well as other holidays. For example, you can send a Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy 4th of July, along with a blog post on how to be more efficient in the new year. Then maybe in February, you could offer a friendly reminder about an upcoming industry conference or a link to your latest white paper or post. Or a few days before Valentine's Day, don't forget to remind people, hey, take care of your sweetheart. You want to send strategic updates regularly via a customer or company newsletter. When it comes to different types of online marketing strategies you can consider, digital company newsletters are a typically inexpensive option. Newsletters are a great way to get the attention of news and existing customers. They can also help keep your business top of mind. In some cases, previous or current clients may need your help or your product, but they just don't know it. A newsletter can be a great way to get in front of your customers regularly and to subtly remind them of what it is you do and how you can help. The format and frequency of your newsletter will depend on your audience. For example, if you're a product company that does a new release every 2 weeks, your customers may find value in hearing about what's new and improved at every launch. And finally, focus on your existing clients and then use retargeting campaigns to connect in several places. By connecting with clients via email and appearing on various platforms, you can start to gain more visibility for your brand. Visibility, when paired with the right communications and lunch appointments or calls, can be the difference in a customer choosing you over a competitor. Marketing doesn't always have to be complicated or expensive. If you're struggling and need to do something quickly to get in front of your target audience, give those three types of online marketing strategies a try, and hopefully it will help you as well. In sports, in the NFL, it's time for the Super Bowl this Sunday with the San Francisco 49ers set to take on Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. And don't forget, watch those commercials. In NCAA men's basketball, Baylor leads the AP Top 25 poll, followed by Gonzaga, Kansas, San Diego State, and Florida State. Louisville, Dayton, Villanova, Duke, and Seton Hall round out the top 10. The NHL regular season is underway, as is the NBA's regular season. However, the biggest news of the week came last Sunday in the NBA when it was reported that Kobe Bryant had died along with his daughter and seven others in a helicopter crash in Calabasas, California. In Major League Baseball news, Dusty Baker has been hired as the new manager of the Houston Astros. And in NASCAR news, there are just 17 more days until the Daytona 500. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today. And I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. If you have ideas for upcoming program topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook on the show's page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. For more information about me and my businesses, visit www.jimgano.com. I am Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody. And I've been taking care of business every day.